is the story of a young boy who was taking grain into town, and he took the corner too fast, and the trailer tipped, and all the grain went out. And fortunately, there was a farmer nearby who saw what happened, and he came up to try and help mitigate the situation, and the boy was totally upset. And the farmer said, "Listen, why don't you come to my house for lunch, and then you could work on this." And the boy said, "My dad would not like that." And the farmer said, "It'll be okay. Come with me, have lunch. We'll come back. I'll help you load the wagon up." And so the boy went with him, and the lunch was great. And they came back, and the farmer said to him, why did you say that your dad would not like it for you to come for lunch, you know, when all this happened?" He said, "Well, my father's under the trailer." Sometimes experience can be a great teacher. Let's pray. Lord, you know how easily we are weighted down by all the difficulties in our life and world. There's so many things that are out of our control, but they're not out of yours. And so we invite you to partner with us throughout each day. We invite you to fill us to overflowing so we can love and care for those you have put in our path. Thank you that you're fully invested in us and that you will not leave us or forsake us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're now in the month of May, and so I'll be preaching out of the New Testament of the book of Galatians, which we've been going through. Today's passage is Galatians 3:26, and it goes to 4:7. I don't think that's the right verse, Ernie. Galatians 3:26, 4-7. I'm going to read it to you. "For in Christ you're all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." My point is this: heirs, as long as they're minors, are no better than those who are enslaved, though they're owners of all the property. But they remain under guardian and trustee until the day set by the Father. So with this, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the element principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive adoption as children. And because you're children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And of a child, then also an heir through God. When you were growing up, was there something you really wanted to do, but you couldn't do because of your age? For a lot of people, one of the first things that comes to mind is they want the ability to drive their own car. Why do you think they have such a wish or dream for so many when they're younger? I think it has to do with the freedom of being able to go anywhere, anytime, any place without any limitations. I must admit that this was not my goal in life. When I was 15, my oldest brother wanted me and my other brother to go into buying 1/3 shares of a car. He would be the driver, and we would be the so-called part owners. I never went for that deal. You have to ask yourself why you'd want to own part of a car that you cannot drive legally. I was actually scared of driving. I put my great mind to use and thought out how I could get out of not learning how to drive a car. I thought, pretty soon, the price of gas will be so expensive, people will stop driving cars. Okay, when you're little and your worldview can be kind of limited. So what were my big goals of freedom? When I was young, I wanted to learn how to dial the phone so I could call my cousin whenever I wanted instead of having my older brother having to do it for me. And then secondly, I wanted to learn how to ride a bicycle. You see, I was the youngest of six, and no one ever seemed to have time or patience to teach me things. On top of the fact that the only bicycles around were so big that if I fell off, it would have been like falling three stories, which almost made getting on impossible. To even get on the bike, it would have been like climbing a giraffe. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is challenging the Jewish Christians who are trying to prevent the Gentile Christians from growing up in their faith. The Judaizers want these new Gentile believers to live by the law of Moses, while the apostles directed them to trust in Christ and Christ alone. Are there people around you that don't want you to grow up? Paul wants his spiritual children to grow up. Every parent should want their children to become adults physically, emotionally, and spiritually, if all things are equal. In the last part of Galatians chapter 3, going into Galatians chapter 4, Paul explains how these Christians can be growing up in their faith, trusting in Jesus. Starting Galatians 3:26, "For in Christ you are children of God through faith." This is how any of us can become Jesus followers. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter what your first language is. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the city, town, village, rural. It doesn't matter the country, the state, the province, even if you come from Newfoundland. Things that could have limitations or barriers, education, the color of our skin, our sex, growing up on the wrong side of the tracks, it doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because of faith or trust in Jesus. Our encounter with God is based on his love for us before we even knew how to love in return. Galatians 3:27, "As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. I have said previously that when you are water baptized, it's like a drama unfolding before our eyes. We go down into the water, identifying us with Jesus' death, and when we come back out of the water, it identifies us with Jesus' resurrection and new life." This is a great time to do an advertisement for water baptism. It is warm outside again. We don't need to worry about things freezing. So if you're interested in getting water baptized, you can contact me or fill one of those cream envelopes out. We'll move on. The presence of Christ goes with us wherever we go. Think about that. At school, the grocery store, when we're driving the car, walking the dog, parenting our children, parenting our parents. There's no place we can go that God is not present. Galatians 3:28, "There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for you're all one in Christ." Keep in mind that anyone who is not born Jewish by birth was a Gentile. God first revealed himself through Abraham and Sarah, creating a Jewish nation. Anyone outside of this nation were heathens, and were not followers of the one true God. Jews were not to keep company with Gentiles or Greeks or eat with them, because they could influence them in corrupt and evil practices away from the one true God of the universe. And then the drastic cultural difference between those who were slaves and those who were free. What a freedom to go anywhere we want, to do anything we please. If you were born a slave, it didn't work that way at all. Someone else was telling you what to do, what to eat, where to go. This would have been such a challenging existence. And finally, the difference between male and female. This was a complete patriarchal society. It was a man's world. If you were a woman, you were under the covering and protection of your father until you were married. And then you were under your husband. But if he died, you were hooped, ushered right into poverty or starvation. This makes the women in Jesus' day that were following him all over the countryside as his disciples so radical. But now through Jesus, there's no more barriers, obstacles, walls to climb over. We are equally under Christ as daughters and sons of the Most High God. The Judaizers wanted the Gentile believers to go backwards under the old system, instead of experiencing full freedom in Christ. Every day a Jewish man prayed and thanked God that he was not a Gentile, not a slave, and not a woman. You could see who had the advantage in the old system, and they wanted to maintain it. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Throughout the Gospels, the first eyewitness accounts of the good news of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's always conflict between Jesus and the religious rulers who are pointing to their Jewish heritage or lineage to validate their position. But now instead of being physically born into the kingdom of God, you actually need to be adopted into this family through faith in Jesus. It is a spiritual birth, not a physical one. Someone has said that God has no grandchildren. In other words, we each need our own encounter with the risen Christ. People have also said we're only one generation away from the extinction of Christianity. If the next generation does not encounter Jesus, there'll be no more of us. Not to be gloomy, but the Holy Spirit has done a pretty good job working in people's hearts over the last 2,000 years. The Apostle Paul goes on, Galatians 4:1. My point is this, heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than those who are enslaved, though they're owners of the property. Now, if you're still living with your parents, don't go home and say, Pastor Lewis said your parents were slave owners. Please don't do that. Granted, it could feel this way because we feel like adults. We want the privileges of adults, but we don't fully yet understand the responsibility that goes with that privilege. When we're under our parents' roof, our parents take care of things we don't even think about, like paying for electricity or the internet bill. Growing up, I don't think my kids ever worried if they were going to be able to eat supper or if we had money to pay rent or the mortgage. Galatians 4:2, but they remain under the guardians and trustees until a date set by the father. This played out in my own life when my dad died suddenly. His will had certain parameters put in place concerning inheritance of possessions, which was impacted by our ages. If we were under a certain age, guardians or trustees would take care of the assets until we came of age. Galatians 4:3. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the element principles of the world. The NLT says it like this, spiritual principles of powers. Under the law of Moses, there were limitations or restrictions, almost like being enslaved, until the power of Christ blows it apart with his death, resurrection, and ascension. In the temple, where sacrifices were made daily for sin, there was a thick curtain that separated where the priest worked with the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would only enter once a year to make sacrifice on behalf of the people and the nation. No one could come into God's presence without the penalty of death because of our sin. But when Jesus dies, Matthew 27:52, 55, this is what happens. At the moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split apart. The tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many. Could you imagine if that was you? You're living into Jerusalem and those who have died before you come back. This wall of separation into God's presence is gone forever. Galatians 1:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This, of course, is talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her miraculously becoming pregnant through the Holy Spirit for God's son Jesus to enter our world. The fullness of time. At just the right time, God put his plan to redeem our world into action. Galatians 4:5. In order to redeem those who were born under the law, so we might receive adoption as children. Jesus had to live under the same law that every other Jew had, but he did it without sin. He did it perfectly, fully human, fully God. Through his death, he brought our freedom for us who were enslaved in sin. And if that wasn't enough, he then adopted us into his family. Talk about a rags-to-riches story. The final two verses, Galatians 4, 6, and 7. And because you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And of a child, and also an heir through God. I love it. God knows that we are spiritual children. And so he affirms that we are his. And then he reaffirms and reconfirms that we are his. And he speaks to us in affectionate ways. This personal, intimate, Aramaic phrase, Abba, is only used three times in the whole of the Bible. Abba means father or papa. I will obey you. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says that he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. When Jesus goes, he says to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit coming upon us is the confirmation that he is with us, that we are his children. Ephesians 1, 13, 14, and now you Gentiles have heard the truth, the good news that God saves. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he'll give us the inheritance he promised, and that he's purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And then in Revelation 7, 3, wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we place the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. The Holy Spirit confirms and speaks over and over to our hearts that we are God's, that he loves us. It's like burning or branding into our souls. And so wherever we go and whatever we do, we're identified as his, and he is proud of us. Herman Killebrew, famous baseball player. Has anyone ever heard of him? He played, yeah, oh, Roland has. Played for the Minnesota Twins. He hit a ton of home runs. When he was growing up, he tells the story how he had three other brothers, and so his dad would play with the four brothers in the front of their yard in the grass. And one day, a neighbor came by and said, Mr. Killebrew, if you keep playing on that grass, you're never going to raise that grass to growing. And his dad, Mr. Killebrew, said, I'm not raising grass. I'm raising kids. What do we want to grow in our lives? And what do we want to raise our children and grandchildren to? These Judaizers wanted to keep the Gentile followers of Christ in a box, in the past, on the shelf. Sometimes it can be easier living in the past, thinking our best days are behind us. Or sometimes we're locked in the past because of hurtful things. And there are others who want to project things on us, and so we're lost in the past with no key to enter the future. It is crazy the things we remember or that imprint on us. When I was little, one of my older sisters told me that I was adopted and that I had a pot belly because of drinking a quart of cream. I can assure you that none of this is true. It is possible that I've slimmed down a bit, but that had to do with the wondrous switch from cream to milk chocolate. Why do things stick in our heads for 10, 20, 30 years when we should have let them go a long time ago? What we need more than anything else is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our lives about how God sees us. When we hold on to the truth of God's word, when the lies start flying, This is where we begin moving from being children to adults in our spiritual lives. Don't allow the enemy to knock you down, to strip you down, no matter where the lies are coming from. Do you know that some of us spend our whole lives trying to please others, especially our parents, instead of just living to please God? When I had a spiritual director, one of the questions he asked me early on was, would anybody be really pleased if you became a pastor? And I said, oh yeah, my mom. And he said, how did that make you feel? I said, it made me want to do anything but that. And he said, that's a good answer. Love your parents. Honor your parents. But don't let them live their lives through you. Some of us came up out of a crappy home life, or parents who were absent physically or emotionally, or maybe you were adopted. I want to tell you, it's okay. Even though others failed us, forgot us, or could not take care of us, we were never alone. God has been with us down every trail. I have a secret for you. You've now been adopted into the spiritual family of God. We can leave the confusion, the hurt, and the disappointment behind. In this family, you're completely loved unconditionally. And there's nothing you can do or need to do that's going to make your Heavenly Father love you more. We are loved, accepted, and forgiven. It's time for us to step out of our childhood boxes of limitations, of fear, of paralyzation, and move into the freedom that Jesus wants us to experience in every area of our lives. No circumcision or laws or religious rules can bring the freedom and peace we all need, both inside and outside of us. This only can come from the love and forgiveness of God. Once we allow the good news of Jesus to guide our daily lives, it gets easier and easier to know what God is asking us, both individually and corporately. Let's pray. Jesus, today, we're willing to hand over all the things that we've been holding on to from the past. We give you the brokenness, the pain, the desire to make ourselves whole, to let those who have wronged us go, to the false things and lies said about us, our attempts to improve ourselves or earn our way to you. And in place of all these past haunts, we want to fully embrace your forgiveness, your healing, your grace, and your love that has no end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning.
Give me Jesus. to die. When I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
As we come in to the Lord's table this morning, hello. I'm just going to give a little instruction on how we're going to do the communion. So at a particular point, I'll have you come up. There's two stations. There's gluten-free bread if you need that. And so you'll come up and take the juice and the bread. And then we'll sit, and then we'll partake of the elements together. When you go walk out, there should be a container that you'll be able to put the baskets in or the cups in the basket. When you walk out this morning, you know, maybe my sister was prophetic. I am indeed adopted. You know what's amazing? We didn't get to pick our families. We just kind of showed up, and we had a mom and a dad. And they weren't always perfect. And now becoming a dad, I find it's very difficult to be perfect as a parent. None of us are perfect. Somebody said recently, after getting through being parented by our parents, most of us have to go to counseling, you know. But we have been adopted into the best family you could ever imagine by a God who loves us unconditionally, where there's nothing that you'll ever do that is going to disappoint him. He loves you just the way you are. He would make you just the way you are all over again. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks of you. He loves you. This morning we focus on Christ's second coming, the hope of his return, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the new heaven and the new earth, when we will be with Christ. In Corinthians it says, we see now in a glass dimly, but there'll be a day when we see him face to face, and this is where we can say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. He's going to be coming soon. And taking us with him. So I'll invite you to come and take the elements and then sit. a good time to mention, too, that if you want prayer this morning, we have our prayer station in the my right backhand corner. And so anytime during communion or when we're singing, if you want prayer for anything, just head back to that corner and somebody will pray for you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Let's partake of the bread together." Thank you, Jesus, that you're the fullness of life, that in all the disappointments and brokenness and heartache, that you have stayed steadfast toward us, that you love us and that you hold us. Amen. In the same way, he takes a cup and said, "This is the blood, new covenant. Whoever drinks this does it in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again." And we say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Let's partake together. Jesus, we thank you that your shed blood has made us clean. It says white as snow. Thank you that you love us and are ever moving toward us. Come and heal us, restore us, and fill us like only you can. Amen. On our first Sunday of the month, when we have our communion service, we take a benevolent offering. And so if those who are going to do the offering would come, we'll do that now.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Couple announcements, the benediction, we'll sing one more song, and then we're dismissed. Youth at 7 on Wednesday. Next Saturday, we're going to have a cleanup here at the church, and there's a sign up at the Welcome Center that starts from 10 and goes to 3. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing it's by grace you've been saved. There's no way to earn our way to God. All he asks us to do is accept what he's done on our behalf. He's the best father ever. Abba, Papa, Father. Amen.
All right, you need to stand up for this one.
Ooh. And you can clap. We're okay. Right? I can't do that. I don't have any rhythm loose.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Have a great week.